The power of the message. When we look at our readings today in Jonah and in our gospel lesson, the idea of the message is very central. God had a message that he gave to Jonah, who very reluctantly ends up going to Nineveh to preach it. It's not a very good message. Basically, he says, turn or burn. And the people listen to him. And if you read the rest of Jonah, what ends up happening is he gets upset with God because the Ninevites did repent and God did have mercy on them, and he didn't like that. And in our gospel reading from Mark, Jesus bursts onto the Galilean scene, seemingly out of the blue. Mark's gospel is very blunt. There's no nativity story. There's no account of his birth like you get in Luke or in Matthew. There's no theological prologue like you get in John's gospel. He just is like, the kingdom of God is here! And you're just like, whoa! Where did that come from? But that's Mark's style. He's trying to get our attention. Jesus comes onto the scene, and the first thing that Jesus does is he builds a chain of fast food restaurants. No, he doesn't do that. He builds a beautiful building. No, he doesn't do that either. He establishes a seminar for unlocking your inner potential. He doesn't do that either. What does he do? He gives a message. It's very fitting that the Son of God, who is the Word of God incarnate, begins his ministry and ends his ministry with a message. And in this passage in Mark's gospel, the message is this: the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the good news. So here's what I want to say about the power of the message. That Jesus gives us and leaves us a message, not an institution. Jesus left behind a message, not an institution, the institution being the church. He begins his ministry with a message about the kingdom, a message about the good news. But we have to ask ourselves, well, what kingdom? Like, what does he mean by the kingdom of God is at hand? Because I'm going to be honest. Like, if you were to walk up to somebody in a shopping mall and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent! They'd be like, walk over this way, right? So what is the kingdom that Jesus is talking about that causes us to need to repent and believe the good news? And by the way, what's the good news? You notice that Jesus doesn't specifically say what the good news is. He sort of leaves it open-ended. So there is power in the message. And Jesus begins his ministry, he ends his ministry, he leaves us with a message. That message creates a community. The message of the gospel creates the church. And that's exactly what we find happening in our gospel story, isn't it? Jesus bursts onto the scene, says the kingdom's at hand, the time is fulfilled, repent and believe the good news. And what's the very next thing that he does? He takes that message to people who hear his call and follow him, right? That's Peter and James and John and Andrew. That immediately the message begins to create a community. And that community then becomes the agents of that message. Because what does Jesus say is going to happen to them? Follow me and I'll make you rich, baby. No. In fact, did you catch the last line of the hymn we just sang? The peace of God is, in fact, not peace at all, but drudgery in the sod. In other words, look at the apostles. John dies in exile on Patmos in prison. Peter's crucified upside down. Jesus sends his message. It creates a community that becomes agents of that message. But he says, I will make you fish for people. You will become my agents of this message so that they might know that the kingdom is at hand and they might know that there is good news for them that are lost. That's the power of Jesus' message. That's how it works. But what exactly is the message? If we are the community that's been formed by this message, created by, well, what is the message? Well, Jesus says the kingdom is at hand. What was he talking about? Was he talking about geography? He's like, if we can all move to this really special place over there, everything will be fine. No, that's not what he meant. Did he mean that some kind of alien ship was landing on Earth, bringing the kingdom with it? You know, like that's where all the Egyptians got their technology from, you know. Right? From the aliens who brought the kingdom to work. But no, that's not what Jesus means. Was he talking about a philosophy? The kingdom is a philosophy that if you just sort of follow what I teach, then that, no, that's not what he meant either. What Mark's trying to tell us is that the reason Jesus says the kingdom is at hand, the time is fulfilled, is because Jesus has shown up. He's on the scene now. And that means the kingdom is here. You can't separate the kingdom from the king. Where Jesus is, there is the kingdom of God. So the time is fulfilled. The Messiah, the chosen one, is here at long last. The kingdom's at hand because I'm here, is what Jesus is saying. So repent and believe the good news. Well, what's the good news? So you notice that Mark and Jesus, they don't tell you what it is right there, do they? But Mark's brilliant. Because what he's doing is he's inviting the reader to say, well, what kingdom and what good news are you talking about, Jesus? Mark is basically saying, I'm glad you asked. Keep reading to find out. Read the rest of the story to find out what that good news is. You'll read about the coming king who is leading a people out of the exile of sin and death and into a right relationship with their creator. And he does it through his death and ultimately through his resurrection. That's the message of the gospel. So let me close by saying just a couple things about what that means for us here and now. Firstly, there's something incredibly potent about the message of the gospel that is inviting. Mark in his gospel says, the kingdom is at hand, repent and believe the good news. And you're immediately saying, well, what kingdom, what good news? Mark is drawing you in to find out. Jesus says to the disciples, come and follow me. And you got to wonder, they probably didn't know what all they were getting into. If they knew how they were going to end it, they might not have said yes. But they were curious. You got to bet that Peter and Andrew and James and John jumped out of those boats because they wanted to see what Jesus was going to be up to. They wanted to know. There's a curiosity. There's something about this gospel message that draws us in. God invites us to know more about him, to be curious. That's the nature of the gospel. And if the way that we're proclaiming the gospel isn't producing that result in people, then we're not proclaiming it correctly. Right? Secondly, if Jesus left us with a message, the message creates this community, this church, who then become agents of this message, that this gospel proclamation should be the thing that determines and flavors everything that we do, both personally and individually and as a church. And so knowing that gospel message, understanding it, and being able to proclaim it is absolutely essential to our identity as Christians and as the church. We are the caretakers of this incredible divine message of God's love for the sinner and his accomplished salvation through Christ. And then thirdly and lastly, I've said that the gospel message invites us. By its nature, it draws us in to want to know more. Secondly, that it is the defining characteristic of who we are, and colors and flavors, everything that we do and ought to do. And then lastly, as agents of this message, we are called to know the story. Right? Mark's gospel is more than just 15 verses. It doesn't stop when Jesus says, "Repent and believe the good news." Right? Have a nice day. You're invited to read the rest of the story, to know and to learn and to understand the full content of this wonderful message. And what that means for us today is that we be a people who are agents of the message, who know the story. That is, who know the Bible. I mentioned this last week in my sermon where I talked a little bit about where we are as a church and where we're headed. And I talked about the three things that I think help best crystallize where we are. That we are in a period of transition, intentional transition to grow. That we are looking at our finances and the balance from between spending and income. And our challenge, our focus is not on reigning and spending, but focusing on our growth and income. And that thirdly, we have a plan that we are following to grow in our family and our children and our youth ministries. Like a tree, it's growing new branches. We're not cutting off any old branches. We're not cutting off any existing branches. We're growing new. That's what I talked about last week. And I said, to that end, the goal that I want for us to embrace as a congregation is to be a people that begin taking up our Bibles and to read and to know and to learn and to love it. Because we are agents of that message who have been invited by God into this community and to know the story, to read the rest of Mark's gospel in particular, but the whole of Scripture. Not so that we might be better scholars, but so that we might be led in a line through the story of the Bible to Christ, which is the whole point of the gospel. So may we be people who understand the power of the message, of what it creates, what it invites, and what it leads us to do. Amen.